The fourth pairing, the Gemara Psachim,
starts
off with the halacha of Isur Melacha on Erev Pesach. The Mishnah says that it depends what the Minhag HaMakom is. If the Minhag HaMakom is that the people allow Melacha, then they're permitted to do Melacha. The Minhag HaMakom is that they don't do Melacha, then they're not permitted to do Melacha on Erev Yom, on Erev Pesach. What is the issue? So in Shulchan Aruch they present it like this. At Efta Chatzos, we assume that it's certainly forbidden to do Melacha on Erev Yom. The question whether this is an Issum in HaTorah or an Issum in the Rabbanon. Rashi says it's an Issum in the Rabbanon. Rashi on Daf Nun and Aleph says it's an Issum in the Rabbanon. Kidei Shelo Yehei Torah B'Melacha. He shouldn't be busy taking a haircut or cutting his nails. It says in Shulchan Aruch that every other Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom, if you can take your haircut or cut your nails, Efta Chatzos. And Erev Pesach, you should be careful. Take care of it before Chatzos. If a person didn't take the haircut before Chatzos, is he allowed to take it after Chatzos? Aidei Nochri, it's a machloikis, and usually we're making. But Mechatzila, the person should be careful to take the haircut before Chatzos on Erev Pesach. To cut the nails as well. It's hard to get a Nochri to cut your nails. So that's what they say, you should be careful to cut your nails and take the haircut before Chatzos. So after Chatzos is forbidden. So Rashi says it's also because Erev Pesach, everybody's busy shechting the Korban Pesach, baking the matzahs. It's Rashi's opinion, you have to bake the matzahs in Erev Pesach. He doesn't make it simple, he just says everybody's busy baking the matzahs. Rashi in the Rishonim quote to Rashi is saying that you have to bake it Erev Pesach. Burning the chametz, a little strange, burning the chametz, you have to the Mishnah says that you burn the chametz, you serve from the Tchila Sheish. That's the Lashon HaMishnah. You serve from the Tchila Sheish, Shosh Ishis means between 11 o'clock and 12 o'clock in the morning is Tchila Sheish. Does that mean literally that you have to burn the chametz with Tchila Sheish? Usually we assume that you have to be finished. The Kesef Mishnah has a suffix. He says you have to be finished burning the chametz before. By us, you have to be finished burning the chametz before because we have to say Kol Hamira. We have a minig that the Rosh introduced that we say a second Kol Hamira. You cannot say the Kol Hamira after the Zman Yisahamah. Let's say I'll say the Kol Hamira before. I'll say any chametz, whether I saw it, I didn't see, should be bottled, kafadar, the whole works with the exception of this chametz. And then I'll burn this chametz between 11 and 12 in the morning. Is that okay? So the case of Mishnah and the Rambam, the end of Perakalach, and Echos Chomets and Matzahs, and the Supik, how to translate the Mishnah. Whether the Mishnah is to be taken literally, we serve from the Tchila Sheish, you bring the Chomets at the beginning of the Shor Sheish. So no, you're not allowed to wait till then. It's like keeping your Chomets with the Rabbanon, we declare Sheish at 11 o'clock as if it's ready after Chatzos. You're not allowed to hold the Chomets after Chatzos, you have to destroy the Chomets before Chatzos. So here too, that's how we usually assume, you have to burn your Chomets before it comes 11 o'clock, or this year it's 10:35 or something. 10:35 is the Sevzman that is mutter to be Nana from the Chametz. So the reason you have to burn the Chametz before, so it's a very strange Rashi on Daf Nun. Rashi says, on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, everybody's busy burning the Chametz. After Chatzos, they're burning the Chametz. Very strange.
Are you allowed to be Nana from that fire that you burn the Chametz?
The Gemara talks about that, beginning of the second page.
Because let's say it's cold, and you want to warm your hands or something like that, while it's roasting, you can roast something like that.
During this Zman Yisur HaNoah, you're allowed to be Nana. The Gemara talks about it. What's the din? They got it ready. The Tosafot says it depends whether you're passing like Rabbi Yehuda, like the Rabbi, and let's say it may be snowing this year. You can never tell. Let's say it's freezing on Erev Pesach. So if you burn the Chometz at a time that it's still Mutar B'HaNoah, so then Avada, it's Mutar B'HaNoah. The Shabbos, if you burn the Chometz at a time that it's Asur B'HaNoah, which we usually don't do. So let's say if you'll be burning the Chometz after 10:35, at a time that it's Asur B'HaNoah, would you be allowed to warm your hands at the time? So Tosafot says in the beginning of the second parak that it depends on the Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, how do you have to dispense of your Chometz? If you say that ain't be Chometz all of this rate for, there's a Machlekes in Rishonim, but you pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that you can only fulfill Tashbisu by burning the Chometz, so you can fulfill Tashbisu by Hashbasasa v'chol davar, destroying in any fashion. So if the only way to fulfill Tashbisu is by burning it, then we have a Mishnah at the end of Tmura, that kol anisrofin afra mutar, that at the time that you burn it, becomes mutar v'anua. But if you hold like the Rabbana, the Rabbi Yehuda, that Hashbasasa is v'chol davar, so then it's not from the nisrofin. Then I should say that you're not permitted to be nani. So that's how Tosafot says the Gemara starts off assuming like that. Then the Gemara says no. The Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, Kolan, so often Afra Mutta means the iftar has already been converted into iftar. But at the time, while you're burning it, the Gemara says you're not permitted. That's how Tosis interprets the Gemara. At the time that you're burning it, you're not permitted to be nana from it, l'chol adam. But here is our Rashi and the Mishnah daf Nun Amar Aleph, that you're not permitted to do malach and erev Pesach after Chatzos in the afternoon, after 12 o'clock, midir Rabbanan, because everybody has to be busy taking care of the Pesach Gachonis. So nobody should be in the office doing their business or anything. Everybody has to stop doing business at 12 o'clock and start making Hachonis for Yom. Tosis disagrees with Rashi and says that's not the reason. Tosis quotes a Yerushalmi that has to do with the Hakrovis Korban Pesach. And even though Bizman Hazeh, we don't have any Beis Hamikdash, nobody's bringing the Korban Pesach, but the fact that the Torah is mechayiv us to bring a Korban Pesach, an Erev Pesach in the afternoon, true, the Maisa were unable to fulfill it, but the fact that there is a Chiyuv Korban, that itself indicates that there should be an Issa Malach. Because the fact that if we are required to bring a Korban on Shabbos and Yom Tov is an indication of the fact that those days, you have to bring a Korban Musaf on Shabbos and Yom Tov to Chol HaMoed, that's an indication that those days have a Kedushas Hayom over and above the other Yemos Sachar. And that's why those days are Asa B'Malacha. So the Yerushalmi says that whenever one is required to bring a Korban, this should be an indication of the fact that there's a Kedushas Hayom, and you shouldn't be permitted to do any Malacha on that day. So the Yerushalmi asks, Tosis says to the Yerushalmi, it sounds like it's a real Din D'Oraisa. It sounds like this Din of not doing Malacha or Pesach after 12 o'clock is a real Din Min HaTorah. It's not a Din Min HaRabbah. Then the Yerushalmi asks Akash, if so, because Klal Yisrael offer a carbon talmud every day, a talmud shal shach and a talmud shal pinah bach. So the Shalmi Fek Takasha said the Jewish people shouldn't be allowed to do the work at any day, the weekday, Shabbat, all year long, because the carbonist tzibah are offered on behalf of the whole tzibah. So everybody is being marked with a carbon. So it should be an indication of the fact that there's a Kedusha Sayyim, every day is holy. It's true, the Rebbe Shalom created the world, and he created time, and anything that he creates is holy. So he created every day of the year. And every day of the year should be holy, should be awesome in the law. So the Yishalmi says, no. That's Exeris HaKosuv. Shiny Tomid. That's an exception to the rule, the Tomid, because it says, we are Safta Diglanecha. Vim Kol Yisrael Yoshimu V'teilim. And if all the Jews will observe the Yisim Malacha, so who's going to do the Vi Asafta Diglanecha? So if the Yishalmi says, you see that we're working on a real Din D'Oraisa, it sounds like, unless you say everything is an Asmachta. But Tosis says, from the Yishalmi, it would appear that everything that we're discussing is a real Din D'Oraisa. So to forbid Malacha every day of the year because of the fact that we bring a Korban Tomei, that's impossible. But an Erev Pesach after Chatzos, that you bring a Korban, you're obligated to bring a Korban Pesach, even if Lamaisa we are unable, Bizman Hazeh, to bring the Korban Pesach, because we don't have any Beis Hamikdash, but still, the fact that there is a Chiv to bring a Korban Pesach, Erev Pesach after Chatzos, is an indication that that part of Erev Pesach after Chatzos has a Kedusha Sayyid. And the Kedusha Sayom forbids Malacha. That's what Tosis says.
That is the same as Pesach Sheni?
I don't know. It's a good question. For those people who have to bring a Korban Pesach Sheni, they should be forbidden from doing Malacha, maybe.
But there's no Kedusha Sayom there.
Kedusha is a problem.
Yeah. Is there a Kedusha Sayom or Pesach Sheni?
Is there a Kedusha Sayom or Pesach?
But you can't do it also with Malacha.
So that's what he tithes. You should say that those who have to bring a Pesach Sheni are forbidden. I don't know. They should be forbidden. I don't know what the din is. The Mishnah Berurah points out that
that's busy like practice.
Oh, it's not so hard.
The Mishnah Berurah points out that he thinks there's a major difference between Rashi and Tosfos in the following instance. Let's say Erev Pesach, actual Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So when is everybody going to be busy to make the last minute preparations, talking to Mikhailim and running and shopping on Friday afternoon? So he thinks in the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah writes that according to Rashi, that the reason why Erev Pesach after Chatzos, one is forbidden from doing Malachas is because he has to be busy taking care of all the Hakonis for Pesach. So on the Friday before Erev Pesach, he should be also to do malach. He has to go home from his office then also.
But he's not going
to
bring the Korban Pesach. According
to Rashi. No, but according to Rashi. Rashi says that the reason for the Yisrael Malach is because of last minute preparations.
What's
for Yom
Tov. What's the last minute preparations? Part of it is Korban Pesach.
Part of it is Korban Pesach. But let's say Bizman Hazeh we don't have a Korban Pesach, so everything else are the preparations. Buying the food and buying, cooking, and whatever is necessary to prepare for Yom Tov. So according to Rashi, the Mishnah Berurah writes, when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, he thinks that one should be forbidden from doing Malacha on that Friday afternoon after 12 o'clock. Whereas according to Tosfos, that has nothing to do with the last minute preparations. His wife and his children will take care of the preparations. And the reason for the Issa Malacha is because either it didn't arise or an asmachta that you're obligated to bring the Korban Pesach then, and that creates a Kedushas HaYom and that here for the day, so that only applies on the actual day on which you're obligated to bring a Korban Pesach. So what's Halacha L'maisa? So the Chavetz Chaim writes in the Mishnah Berurah, he thinks that since according to Tosis they say that maybe it's a Din D'Oraisa. According to Rashi, clearly it's only a Din D'Rabbanan. So he says, since it's a Machlokes Rashi and Tosis, and the worst it could be is a Din D'Rabbanan, so he thinks that's Sfeika D'Rabbanan L'Kul. So he's made that if Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, you don't have to stop working on Friday afternoon at 12. But on a regular Pesach like this year, Erev Pesach is on a Monday, then it's a real din, either a din D'Oraisa or a din D'Rabbanan, that one is forbidden from doing Melacha, and Erev Pesach after Chatzos. What about Erev Pesach in the morning? So that already depends in Makom Shenagu. So the Gemara, that's the Perek Makom Shenagu. So the Gemara says Makom Shenagu Amnun Heimer Aleph. The Gemara says another Mishnah. Makom Shenagu not to do Melacha all day long. It's a minig. Makom Shenagu only not to do Melacha in the afternoon. That minig is also fine. What is the minig by us? So the Ramah who lived in Poland claims, the Ramah lived in Krakow. He says the minig is that you don't do Melacha all day. Nobody goes to the office all day on Erev Pesach. And the Achronim quoted by the Mishnah Berurah say that they don't know where, but he was Ramah, I think, was a shamus in a shul. No? Yeah. They don't know what he did for a living, but if their minig is not so. That the minig are there. In Poland, in Krakow, in the days of the later Achronim, the minig was that they did do malacha and their Pesach in the morning, just their Pesach in the afternoon. If the chatzoy is, that's a real din, either a din manator or a din madarabon, that one is forbidden from doing malacha. That's the Gemara. Erev Pesach in the afternoon, there's another halacha that one Rachman Aleflan who is sitting Shiva, or one who is observing Shloshim, so when it comes Chatzos of Erev Pesach, the Ramo at the end of Yerodei Paschal is at the Abela says. By another, Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif, the din is at the Abela has to be observed up until Shabbos or up until Yontif. But on Erev Pesach, after Chatzos, we treat it like a Yontif, that's why Tosis claims that it's also a Melacha in the Torah. So we consider it like a yontif. So we say that no avelus is not. What if it would be in the? That's a machlokes though. It's a machlokes between Tosis and the Ozarua, right? Tosis in Zvachim says explicitly that there is avelus. Tosis talks about avelus. They hold explicitly that there is avelus on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, like every other, every Shabbos, Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif after Chatzos. Just the Ozarua says that there's no avelus, that we treat Erev Pesach after Chatzos like a yontif, like this Yerushalmi, because you bring the carbon Pesach. So the Ramah paskins lahakel. Because whenever there's a shayla in Hilchas Avelus, whenever there's a Sofi, we have no hachros, so we go to kula halacha b'divrei HaMekom Bar. What if it would be the reverse? Let's say the kfur is Erev Pesach Erev Chatzos. The kfur, someone is down to God, the kfur takes place Erev Pesach Erev Chatzos. So if you say that you don't begin to sit Shiva because it's a yontif like Chalamoid, like Chalamoid, let's say there's a Levaya on Chalamoid, a yontif, so you don't begin to Shiva till after yontif, so the Avelim lose out. So it's better for them that they should, if they're interested, yeah. It's better for them that they should begin the Shiva, unless they want to sit Shiva. But let's say they don't want to sit Shiva. So it's better for them to begin the Shiva and their Pesach after Chatzos, and then sit Shiva a little bit, and then the Yantav should come and break it. Because the Yantav only breaks the Shiva if the person began the Niyog of Shiva. So there, it's generally assumed Lahakal in favor of the Yavel, that if he chooses that he does want to sit Shiva and their Pesach after Chatzos, and we say like Tosfos, we follow Tosfos' opinion, that he does sit Shiva, and then when it comes Pesach, then it cancels the Shiva. Because it's a machlek, it's Tosis in the Ozeru, where there are Pesach after Chatzos, there is a Velus on it. So we go to Hakel to accommodate ourselves, whenever it's better for us. The Gemara in Erechin on Daf Yud speaks about Hallel on the various Yom Tovim. So the Gemara in the Bavli only lists off the days on which we recite Hallel in the daytime. The Bavli doesn't mention anything about reciting Hallel in the night of Pesach. Of course, the Mishnah in Ari Pesachim speaks about reciting the Haggadah. So we recite part of the Hallel before the meal and part of the Hallel after the meal. There's a Machlokes, B'Shamah, B'Sivah. How much of the Hallel is to be recited before the meal and how much is to be recited after the meal? So that Hallel that we recite before and after the Korban Pesach, Bizman HaMikdash, before and after the Sudas Pesach, Bizman HaZeh, is mentioned in the Mishnah. That's Mefurish. But the Shad is, what about the Hallel in Shul? So in the Bavli, it's not mentioned at all. Tosis quotes from the Yerushalmi and from the Masechta Sofrim that they had a practice to recite Hallel so many days a year, 18 days a year, 21 days a year, depending on the Surah Chutzlar, you say 2 days a year, you say the Hallel. So many days a year you say Hallel Shalem, and the first 2 days of Pesach, and the 2 days of Shavuos, and the 8 days of Chanukah, and Sukkot, every day you say Hallel, 8 days, or 9 days of Sukkot, you say Hallel. And Yerushalmi adds on, and you also say halal another night or two nights. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you say halal on the first night of Pesach, and you live in Chutz Lord, you say halal the first two nights of Pesach and Shul before you go home. What is this halal all about? So the Ramo and Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim, from the Bali Atesis, who said that this halal is for the Amaratzim, for the people who have to say halal before and after the meal on Pesach night. And they don't know how to read the Ivra, they don't have a Haggadah. They don't have a Haggadah. They have a Haggadah, they don't know how to read it. They're going to make mistakes saying the halal, saying the Ivra. So it's better to say the halal in Shul and have the Chazan say the halal, the whole halal out loud, to be might see everybody does know, Kedei Lehotzis Misheni Yedea. But the Ramo says, Bizman Hazeh, I'm all right there. Kolon Chachamim, Kolon Nevodim, Kolon is the Kedem. Everybody knows how to read Ivri with Nekudetz. So we all have our goddess, and we can all say the halo, a little bit of the halo before the Suda, a little bit of the halo after the Suda. So the Ramo says there's no need to say the halo in Shul. And that's the practice by Ashkenaz, that they don't say the halo in Shul. But the Mechaber doesn't hold like that. Mechaber also knew how to read Ivri with Nekudetz, and he also had a Haggadah. And he says, no, that the Minik Svard is that they say the halo in Shul in Eretz Yisrael on the first night of Pesach, and the Chutzot on the first two nights of Pesach with the Bracha. Say the bracha before and after the halal. That it's a chiyuv, it's a takonas chacham to recite halal on Pesach night. In shul, in addition to the halal that you say by the Haggadah, there's a takonah to recite a separate halal. That's what the Mechaber quotes as the pashtus of the Yerushalmi. The Babli doesn't mention it, but it's mentioned in the Yerushalmi, the Masech HaSefim. Masech HaSefim is not from the Gemara. Masech HaSefim was composed by the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael. So it's the same as the Yerushalmi.
Right.
Yerushalmi and Masech HaSefim is the same source.
Right, sometimes halal you say Shira Chadosha, and sometimes you say Shir Chodosh. One time it's Moshe Zohar, one time it's Moshe
Zohar. Right. Place is discussed. That's a good topic. Place discusses that.
But we put that on a bracha, right? When we say halal at home. We don't say it.
Halal and Haggadah, we don't say it, right? And halal and Shul, those who have that practice, they say it, right? The Vilna Goyen didn't follow Nusach Svar. But here he writes in the Haggadah Sagron, the Shulchan Aruch, that he recommends that everybody should follow the Mechaber sheet, because that's the Pashtus of Yerushalmi. And Eretz Yisrael, the meaning is that they all say halal, right? Even in the shuls where they don't daven Nusach Svar, they daven Nusach Ashkenaz. And that's all the common meaning is that they say with the bracha right on the first night. They don't have the Yom Tov Shena Shavuot. On the first night of Pesach, they say halal in shul before they go home. And then when they go home, they say halal again without a bracha on the Seder, part before and part after. The two different takonos, to say halal b'shas ha-haggadah, and to say halal b'shas b'beis ha-knesset, a separate takon. It's a question, what is it based on? That's a problem. What is the halal and shul based on? Where do you find that you say halal b'alayla? The Mishnah says in Megillah that you're not yotze. Let's say on Pesach morning you have to recite Gan's halal. When you recite the halal on the night of Pesach, you're not yotze. You have to repeat it again in the morning of Pesach. And the Mishnah says in Megillah, based on the pasuk, the mizrach shemesh ad mevor mehul shem Hashem, that you can only recite halal the mizrach shemesh ad mevor from sunrise to sunset. You're not yet to halal if you say halal balayla. What is the halal all about on Pesach night? So they give different. The pasuk give different explanations of what it's all about. Difficult explanations, but that's what the goyim pasuk is like the mechaber. That's what Rav Soloveitchik recommended based on the goyim that the rabbanim should introduce in their shuls. He doesn't like to recommend shinuyim minhagim to change the minhagim, but he thought that this the goyim recommended that you should change the minhag over him. He thought that it is proper. You shouldn't, if you're not going to have a minion, so then you don't say halal. This halal is only recited if you have a minion in a shul. The whole minion together says the halal. We discussed last week a little bit. The Gemara in the Yad of Pesachim quotes the Machlekes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Loza ben Azariah regarding the dinner. Korban Pesach must be completed before Chatzos. A Pesach in a nechal ala balayla, and a nechal ala Chatzos. You have to complete the Korban Pesach by Chatzos alayla. The Akiva sheet is that this is only a din de rabbanan for the harchikus or other min ha'averim, and therefore it only applies to korban pesach and doesn't apply to matzah and doesn't apply to hafikomen, it doesn't apply to avikosis and doesn't apply to the halal. So this man is that the whole din of chatzos has no application according to Rabbi Akiva. However, according to Rabbi Loza ben Azariah, that the din of chatzos by korban pesach is a din min ha'averim because it says v'yochlus habasa balayla hazeh, and balayla hazeh has the connotation of chatzos because it says the avar to be eretz and sign balayla is in the case of called eretz and sign, and the pasuk says that makas the horse was exactly at chatzos. So just like the phrase balayla azeh by makas the horse has the connotation of chatzos, so too by korban pesach has the meaning of chatzos. So Rav Lozman Azari insists that the korban pesach must be completed min haTorah by chatzos. The Gemara says in the end of Pesachim, according to Rav Lozman Azari, not only must you complete the korban pesach by chatzos, you have to finish the afikomen also by chatzos. How do we pass? Do we pass like Rav Lozim and Azariah like Rabbi Akiva? So that's a shaila in Taisus. And that Kuf Chaf and Mabed, Taisus quotes the two opinions, whether we should pass like Rav Lozim and Azariah or like Rabbi Akiva. There's a Stam Mishnah here like Rabbi Akiva, there's a Stam Mishnah there like Rav Lozim and Azariah. It's a problem, we have contradictions in the Stam Mishnah is how to pass. So in the Shulchan Aruch they say that one should be Machmir for the Shita of Rav Lozim and Azariah, who holds that Chatzos is a din derais, and therefore Chatzos applies to Matzah as well. Doesn't only apply to Korban Pesach, applies to Matzah as well. Now, our reading of the Afikomen, there's a machlokes. What is the Afikomen all about? So it's a machlokes between the Rashbam and Tosis. What does the Afikomen represent? So Tosis' opinion is that the popular view that Afikomen is Zechel Pesach and Zechel Chagigah. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch that you should have the Maharil says you should have two kizaisim of Afikomen. One Zechel Pesach, one Zechel Chagigah. But the Rashbam says not so. That's what the Rosh says. The Rosh says that the Afikomen that we eat is Zechel Pesach. And the Maharil says Zechel Pesach and Zechel Chagigah, the two korbanos. So if it's only a Zecher, it's gefel. It makes a Zecher after Chatzos also. It's gefel. The Korban Pesach, actual Korban Pesach, you can't eat after Chatzos. The Zecher, you don't have to make such a tzimis again. But the Rashbam's opinion is that in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, the Korban Pesach had to be Nechel ala sova, meaning at the end of the meal. You're not supposed to eat the Korban Pesach at the beginning of the meal. The Mishalmi says, Zeir Mishum Shvira Setzen. We're afraid that the fellow will be so starved from not eating Erev Pesach after Chatzos that he may break a bone in the Korban Pesach, and that's a special law in the Torah. That's a Moisish Bruvo. So to prevent people from Shvira Setzen, the Rishami says they made a takana. Tosafot quotes Rishami made a takana that they have to eat the Korban Pesach ala sov at the end of the meal. But they ate the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal, so the Melah they ate the matzah tomorrow also at the end of the meal because they ate Pesach matzah tomorrow all together at the same time. So the Rashbam writes that even though Bizmanazah we don't need any Korban Pesach, we don't have any Shvira Tzetzin, we don't have any Ala Sova, nevertheless the Iker Achilas Matzah is not the Matzah that we eat in the beginning of the meal when we say Hamotzi Al Achilas Matzah. The Iker Matzah really is the Matzah that we eat at the end of the meal. The Afikomen is the real Iker Achilas Matzah. I, the Rashbam Tosis asks, so isn't it a hefsik? We say the Bracha Al Achilas Matzah in the beginning of the meal. We don't get to fulfill a mitzvah until the very end of the meal. So you should say no one's allowed to be mafsik. He mentioned some gedolim and some tzaddikim were machmir, the shalom hakadosh, and many tzaddikim after him were machmir not to be mafsik from the time you say the brach al achilas matzah till the time you have to eat the afikomen.
Eat the whole meal.
Yeah, eat the whole meal. And then they were machmir not to be mafsik. So the Rashbam and Taisa say that that's not necessary, that it's permissible to be mafsik. It just says indeed you shouldn't be mafsik in between the time that say the brach al achilas matzah and the time that you finish eating the korah, because the Gemara says it's a suffix whether you have to eat the matzah and the morah separately or you have to eat them together. Hillel says you have to eat them together, and the Chachamim disagree and they say that you eat the matzah separately and the morah separately. So the Gemara says since it's a machlokes, so you should do both shittas. So we eat first the matzah separately, then the morah separately, then we eat the matzah and the morah together to fulfill the opinion of Hillel. So since we're treating it as if it were a sveikid adina, whether you have to eat the matzah and the morah separately or that together, And we want to say a bracha on the matzah, we want to say a bracha on the morah. So the bracha that we say, al achilas matzah and al achilas morah, we should have in mind to cover the matzah and the morah that we're eating now, and the matzah and the morah which will be eaten in the kricha. So therefore it says in the Shulchan Aruch that one should not be mafsik, one should not talk in between the bracha al achilas matzah and the completion of the eating of the korah. But we're not makbid not to be mafsik until after the eating of the avikonah. So Tosis and Rashbam asked the kasha, why? But if the Rashbam is right, that the Iker Achilas Matzah is really the Afikomen that you eat at the end of the meal, so why not insist that you're not permitted to be mafsik in between the Brach Al Achilas Matzah and the Achil of the Afikomen? So Tosis and Rashbam both give an answer, that we find several Mishalim like that, several instances in Halacha, that a person recites a Birchas HaMitzvah now, and he begins to do the Mitzvah now, but he doesn't really do the Kiyum HaMitzvah till later. But since he began to do the mitzvah now, so that's not called a hefsek. So they give a mashal, there's a rule, gives a mashal, you daven ma'ariv in shul early. So you're not yetzik kriya shma, so you have to repeat kriya shma later. So what's with the birchas kriya shma? Aren't you supposed to recite the birchas kriya shma right before the kriya shma? You say, Abba Rabba, is the ikar birchas kriya shma. So you say the birchas kriya shma now, and then you're not yetzik kriya shma until an hour later. So the answer is, these Rishayim say, nish gefelach, and you say the bracha now, and if you say the birchas krishma now, you don't say krishma at all now. So that there's no connection between the birchas hamitzvah and the mitzvah. But if you say birchas krishma now, and you recite krishma, but you're not yet to the krishma now because it's too early. So then you say the krishma later. So the fact that I began to do the mitzvah by beginning to recite krishma now, is nish gefel. That's what the Yazir Ruach gives a mashal. Then pick it up and put it down again. Well, that's over. That's over last year. That's right before. Right, right. But we're talking about a case where we're not going to be out to the mitzvah until a half an hour later. He's going to pause, but it won't have stock. He's going to do the mitzvah mamish half an hour later. The Gemara is one is Yotze. We passed him who would be Yotze, but the Gemara says you have to have Korach. Korach is not a min. Korach is a din. The Gemara says since we haven't passed him either like Hillel or like the Chachamim, whether we require Dafke, Matzah, and Mara together in a sandwich or Dafke to eat them separately. So therefore the Gemara says Hilkach Abdin and Ketravayi. Therefore we should do like both opinions of the Tanoim. So therefore we should first eat Matzah separately, then Mara separately, then eat them Bikrich. The Gemara treats it as if it were a Sveik and a Dima. Yeah, the original mocker of
Korach. That's what's mentioned in Pesach Sheni.
Right, yeah.
So in other words, if somebody doesn't have Pesach Sheni, has Pesach Sheni, so you have to eat.
Same machlekes.
You have to eat both ways.
If you'll treat it like a Sveik and a Dina, so you'll have to eat matzah, then mara, then matzah and mara together. You'll have to do the whole thing, right?
No, he does.
There
won't be any stock
in
Russia.
Okay. Maybe
we'll pass the noise except during his Mar Beis HaMikdash. He'll know exactly what he has to do.
Okay. Okay.
No shire there. So maybe she could be. So
why don't we do what? Why don't we do what? That's what the Rosh asks Akasha against the Rashbam. If the Rashbam is right that the Afikoman that we eat at the end is not Zechel Pesach, but it's rather the mitzvah matzah, so why don't we eat the morah at the end? Why don't we have the kriach at the end? Why don't we have the matzah and the morah and the kerach at the end? So that's what leads the Rosh to say that the Rashbam and Tosis are both wrong. The Tosis as we have it says the same as the Rashbam. So the Rosh disagrees with them and says that they're wrong, that the afikomen at the end is just a zechel pesach, or zechel pesach and a zechel chagiga. And the matzah we eat in the beginning is the mitzvah matzah. But the Rashbam and Tosis say not so. They say that the matzah that we eat in the beginning is not the mitzvah matzah. The mitzvah matzahs go all the way at the end. And it doesn't constitute a hefsek, the fact that we talk in between, because we started to eat some matzah in the beginning.
Why do you make it at all?
Oh, so the Rashbam says it's not proper, because since we want to eat matzah to fill ourselves, we're hungry, like in a normal meal. So even though we've eaten the matzah shalom l'shem mitzvah, we're not going to be eating the mitzvah matzah till the end, so he quotes it tomorrow, but it's not proper. Save the brichas mitzvah till the end. The Gemara has it. The Rashbam quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, what if you have, l'chatchila should have a separate vegetable for karpas and a separate vegetable for mor? What if you don't have, what if all you have is romaine lettuce? So the Gemara says, still you have to eat the lettuce twice. Once you eat it l'shem korach, and the second time you eat it l'shem mor. So the first time you eat it l'shem korach, you had in mind not to be yetz in the mitzvah of mor. So the Gemara has a machlokas amoraim. In that instance, when the person is eating the same vegetable twice, the first time the Shem Korach, not the Shem Mor, and the second time the Shem Mor, when does he recite the Shem Karpas? The first time the Shem Karpas, the first time the Shem Karpas, and the second time the Shem Mor. So when does he recite the Birchas HaMitzvah of Al Achilas Mor? So the one opinion is that he says Al Achilas Mor when he eats it the second time. When he eats it the first time, he just says Baruch Pi Adomo, because he has in mind the Shem Karpas, not the Shem Mor. And we don't pass him like that. The Gemara says we pass him Halacha that even though the first time he eats the lettuce, he has in mind only l'shem karpas, not l'shem mitzvahs moror. Nevertheless, he should recite the bracha moror in the beginning. Why? Everybody has beferish kavanah not to be yotzei moror then. He doesn't want to be yotzei moror till later, because there's a din l'chatchila, the Rashbam points out, that there's a seder. Why do we call it a seder on Pesach night? There's a seder l'chatchila, how to fulfill a mitzvah. But the evidence, if a person eats first the moror, then the matzah, he would be yotzei. But l'chatchila, he should eat his first matzah, and then moror, as it says in the Chumash, al matzos and rorim yochlu. First the matzah, then the morah. So the Rashbam says that's why when he eats the karpas, when he only has the romaine lettuce, and he has to eat it twice during the seder. Once l'shem karpas, and the second time l'shem morah. When he eats the l'shem karpas, he has explicit intention not to fulfill the mitzvah morah, because he wants to fulfill the mitzvah morah after the matzah, in order to have the seder, l'chatchila, first matzah, then morah. Nevertheless, the Gemara comes to the maskana that he should say the bracha al achilas morah when he eats it the first time. Why? So the Gemara gives an argument that Lachashid Mile Praise Hemenu Hey Chayzim Mevarach Olav. After he's already had some of the Morah originally, the Shem Karpas, true he didn't have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah of Morah, and he didn't fulfill it. Fakir, he had in mind not to fulfill the mitzvah of Morah, but still it looks strange. He's already eaten the Morah, and now all of a sudden he wakes up to say the Bracha. So we require of him the dafki. If he only has one vegetable and he's going to eat the same romaine lettuce twice, he should say the bracha al achilas moror. He says bar pi adam al achilas mor before he eats the karpas, and he has a mind not to be eating the mitzvah of karpas, and then he eats the moror later in the middle of the meal without a bracha. He does not recite the bracha al achilas moror the second time, and it doesn't constitute a hefsek because he started to eat it before. So the Gemara has this this kind of a compromise. So whatever the Pshat Gemara is, that's what the Rashbam tells to the matz.
When someone brings a pesach of shame, does that mean that there's a pia of matzah more? And the time he brings a pesach of shame also?
Yes,
does that mean he doesn't finish. Bring it to, what about at the regular time when he can't bring a pesach of shame? He's tomei.
Yeah.
That means there's no pia.
No, there's still there's certainly an obligation to eat matzah. Let's say a person is tomei or b'derech rechoyka, whatever, he's unable to eat pesach rishon. So he's certainly obligated to eat matzah min ha-Torah on the first Pesach Rishon. Like Bizman Hazeh. There's a chi of matzah min ha-Torah Bizman Hazeh, even though we don't have any Korban Pesach. Morah, the Gemara says Bizman Hazeh, Morah Bizman Hazeh is only the Rabbanon. So that's a machlokes between the Rambam and Tosis. What does it mean, the Morah Bizman Hazeh is the Rabbanon? Because in the Chumash, the Morah is only a mitzvah in connection with the Korban Pesach. What does that mean? So the Rambam's opinion is that Morah Bizman Amigdosh, for a person who is a Tomei of B'derech HaChayko, is also not minat Torah on Pesach Rishon. He wouldn't eat. I don't even know if it's the Rabbanon according to the Rambam. The fellow who's going to have to eat a Pesach Sheni, who's going to have to bring a Pesach Sheni, only has to eat matzah the first night of Pesach. He doesn't have to eat Morah minat Torah, because Morah does not exist according to the Rambam. Morah does not exist as an independent mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. It's only what the Gemara calls on that tzarek hechshera the pischa. That's the proper way to fulfill a mitzvah korban Pesach b'shlei musa. They have a korban Pesach with matzah and with Morah. In fact, the Minhas Chinuch quotes on the Chilta that there's a havamina that if a person eats the Korban Pesach without Moror or without Matzah, he's not yetzer the Korban Pesach, because that's Hashem the Pischa. That's the proper way to fulfill Korban Pesach in conjunction with Matzah Mor. So then the Mechilta says no, that even though the Chatchila, the mitzvah B'Shlemusa is Korban Pesach, Al Matzah Simrorim Yochlu, he should eat the Korban Pesach with Matzah and with Moror, but for the Yebed, the Matzah and the Moror is not Miyakim in the Korban Pesach. But the Rambam's opinion is that the Moror is only Hechsher the Pischah. Even Bizman HaMikdosh, Mora didn't exist in HaTorah unless the person is eating a Korban Pesach. And Tosfos Shita is not so. That means that Mora Bizman Deleka Beis HaMikdosh, Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdosh Kayim, Mora is only the Rabbanon. But Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdosh Kayim, Mora was the rice on the first night of Pesach, even if the fellow is a Tomei or the Derech HaChoyko, and he's not drinking the Korban Pesach. Still, Mora exists as an independent mitzvah. Mora is in a mitzvah sachila b'fnei atzma. That's a machlek, it's Tosfos in the Rambam. Whether Morer is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo or not. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos and in the Yarech HaZok, it counts the mitzvahs on Pesach night. Okay. It's a mitzvah to eat a Korban Pesach, and it's a mitzvah to eat matzah, and he says, no mitzvah to eat Morer. Right? He says, Mechumish. He says, no, and he explains that Morer is only Hechsher de Pischa. It's a detail of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. It doesn't exist as a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. And he has this in the Sefer HaMitzvos. He has a long arichas on this to prove that it's true. The Yarech HaZok, he has it b'kitz and nimrats. And the Sefer HaMitzvos, he has it by
Rikas. The times of the Beis HaMikdash, they ate the Korban twice the way we did it, the way we do a little in the middle and then later on after Kommen, they ate the Korban Pesach also twice the way we separated?
No. The Gemara says that if you ate a Kazayis and the Korban Pesach, you ate. So the Pashup Shad is that that's all you have to eat is a Kazayis. The Rambam Sheet is that you have to eat two Kazayis.
What about having the taste in your mouth at the end?
Right, so the Pashto says, Tosfos says that they only got to eat the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal, it was Nechal al HaSova, and that was the last thing they ate. And then after Nacha Pesach HaPikon, they're not allowed to have any dessert after the Korban Pesach. They should hate Tam Pesach with food. That was the last thing they had, and they only had a Kazayis at the end of the meal. The Gemara says that you're not permitted to eat on a Pesach after Chatzos a meal in order that you should eat the Korban Pesach with your oven. So how's that quality oven? He's going to eat the whole supper first, and then he's going to eat the Korban Pesach at the end. So Tosfos explains that there's no contradiction. That if you're going to eat a meal on Erev Pesach in the afternoon, he cannot gauge himself. He cannot tell by what he's going to eat on Erev Pesach in the afternoon how hungry he will be on Pesach night. So we don't allow him to eat any meal on Erev Pesach in the afternoon after 3 or 3:30 or so, a half an hour before Minchat Tano, because we're afraid that he'll be so full that he won't enjoy the Korban Pesach later. But we allow him to eat the Suda on Pesach night, because he will be careful not to eat too much, so that when he gets to the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal, it will be both Nechal al HaSova and Nechal al HaTeyavon at the same time.
When do they eat the Chagiga?
That's what Tosfos says. They ate the Chagiga in the middle of the meal. They ate the Chagiga in the middle of the meal, and then they ate the Korban Pesach only at the end of the meal. Right. That's how Tosfos looks. The Rambam Shita is not so. The Rambam Shita is that they ate two Kazeis in the Korban Pesach, And then it's Ziv writes that this answers Tesis riddle. Tesis bothered with the kasha. How can you eat the Korban Pesach L'Tayavon? It sounds like you're hungry and you run to eat the Korban Pesach, and then you have to eat the Korban Pesach Halasova at the end of the meal. How can it be? So he says the Rambam parenthes the kasha. The Rambam writes exclusively v'chatzila yid tukezeis b'di'evet. The Rambam writes v'shalcha kazayis yotza. The Rambam quotes the Gemara. That's b'di'evet. Why is that b'di'evet? Isn't that v'chatzila? How much do you have to eat? So the Rambam says, yeah, v'chatzila you have to have tukezeis. One kazayis of Korban Pesach at the beginning of the meal. One kazayis of the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal. Kazayis at the beginning of the meal is that it should be nechal l'teyavim. Kazayis of Korban Pesach at the end of the meal that it should be nechal l'asova. And b'di'evet if the fellow only had one kazayis, that would be sufficient. This is against, of course, this is against the Yerushalmi that we just mentioned before. The Yerushalmi says that the reason why you have to eat the Korban Pesach ala sova is a hashash mishum shvira setzim. We're afraid that if we'll allow him to eat the Korban Pesach at the beginning of the meal, he'll be so starved that he may break a bone in his eagerness to eat the Korban Pesach. So if the Rambam says you have to eat twice, once at the beginning of the meal, the oven, once at the end of the meal, ala sova, so why not be afraid? But he may be so hungry he'll eat more.
He has
the Rambam Alpi Pashtus doesn't hold like the Yerushalmi. The Babli also says questionable whether the Tosfos points out that it's questionable whether the Babli holds from the Yerushalmi. The Pashtus says that Al Asova is a different din. It's a separate halacha. It's not because of the Chashash to Rabbanon.
Why do we not seem to be according to the Rambam? Because we split up. First we eat, then we say Zechel Mikdash. You know, that's what we all used to do. Right. So we do it after Chomer. Either way, you do it right then. And then we're eating it again after Chomer. You know, both of them seem to be
zecher
to the
Korban Pesach. No. The Afikomen is a machzor. The Gemara says you have to eat the Afikomen. This man has ever. There's no Korban Pesach, eat the Afikomen. So what is it all about? So that's the dispute between the Rashbam and the Rosh. The Rashbam says the Afikomen is the Iker Mitzvah Matzah. Yeah. That we haven't yet fulfilled the Mitzvah Matzah at the beginning of the meal. You only fulfill Matzah at the end of the meal. According to the Rashbam, the proper thing is that you should eat the Morah and the Korach also at the end of the meal. But we don't really follow the Rashbam. We really are Yetzi Matzah and Morah and Korach at the beginning of the meal. And we hold like the Rosh that the Afikomen at the end of the meal is only a Zecher of the Korban Pesach.
So in other words, according to the Rosh, then we're doing it both ways. We still have a Zecher of the Korban Pesach because we make Korach like Hillel, right? In the middle. We're saying Zecher because Kehillel's with those.
Yeah.
And the Chachamim do it a little differently, but both of them apparently ate Pesach then, right in the middle. And now according to
the Korban Pesach had to be eaten at the end of the meal.
So what are you doing the Hillel and the Korach in the middle in the first place?
No, the Hillel and the Korach in the middle is like this. We don't have any Korban Pesach.
Yeah.
We just have Matzah and Mor.
Yeah.
If you only have Matzah, so there's not shak to have any Korach. If you only have Mor, it's not shak. But if you have Matzah and Mor, then you can begin to discuss Krich. So the Gemara has a machloek, is Hillel and the Chacham, and how are you supposed to fulfill the Mitzvah Salayah? So Hillel says that the proper way to fulfill the Mitzvah of Pesach, Matzah and Mor, is to eat them all together. And the Chacham say no, that the proper way to fulfill the mitzvahs davki, each one separately. If you leave them together, then we'll say the mitzvahs mevatla zu zu. When you have to fulfill a mitzvah of achilah, you have to eat everything separately. Let's say a person is eating, a kohen is eating a korban chatos. So he'll eat some potato chips or some potatoes of chulin together with the korban chatos. So the Gemara says this will ruin his mitzvah of achilah's korban chatos. If you eat a Dvar Harshus at the same time that you're eating a Dvar Mitzvah, so it's as if the whole thing is an Achilas Harshus. It's not called an Achilas Mitzvah unless it's eaten separately. So that's a Machlagis Hilam Nachachalim. What if both of the things that I'm eating are both mitzvahs, but they're two different mitzvahs? So they're pulling in two different directions. So do I say that each mitzvah is in competition with the other mitzvah? So I say mitzvahs Mevat L'zu Azu. So when I eat the Matzah and the Mora together, I eat the Pesach Matzah Mora together, I consider it as if I'm eating a Dvar Harshus together with the mitzvah. Because from the viewpoint of the matzah, the maror is a dvar hashus. From the viewpoint of the maror, the matzah is a dvar hashus. So each one will ruin. If I leave two things together, each one will ruin the kinyan mitzvah of the other one. Or do you say no? But the mitzvahs were given on Pesach night, the davka, to eat them all together.
But Hillel didn't do his korach then in the basement. She did his korach
at the end. Right, he ate it.
So we're just mentioning it though.
We don't have any korban Pesach.
Yeah, I understand. I'm saying
korban Pesach has to be nachal at the end.
All we have. This is what Hillel used to do, right? But he didn't do it now. He did it later.
Right, he did it later because he had the korban Pesach. He wanted to eat the Pesach ala sova. But we don't have any korban Pesach. There's no din of Matzah Mor ala sova, so you may as well fulfill the mitzvah Matzah Mor at the beginning of the meal.
Why should we mention Hillel later on when he used to do it at the time he used to do it? He didn't do it now.
Not a real time wise. Okay. Because we don't have the Korban Pesach, so we do it now.
It's a taina, it's a taina. There is a machloikis in Shulchan Aruch, they quote, there is a machloikis between the Rambam and the Rashbam. What exactly did Hillel put in the Kricha? The Rambam's opinion is that he didn't have all three together, Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. The Korban Pesach has to be eaten separately. He only had a Kricha of Matzah and Morah. Even Bizman HaMikdash, that's all he had together was Matzah and Morah. He could have packed eaten the Matzah and Morah with the Kricha in the beginning of the meal, the Korban Pesach at the end of the meal. The other Rishonim say like you find it. Rashbam and Yerushalmi and Chala says Mefurish like that. That Bizman HaMikdash, they had all three together. Hillel would eat Pesach, Matzah, and Morah. All three together. There are two versions where we say, here it's in parentheses. It says, Hayakorach Pesach Matzah Morah. The word Pesach is in parentheses because the Rambam doesn't have that gears. The Rambam's gears is Hayakorach Matzah Morah. So the Chol Kiyankiv and the Pesach on the bottom of the page points out that the Rambam's gears is Hayakorach Matzah Morah. And the Rashbam's gears is Hayakorach Pesach Matzah Morah. The Rashbam's gears is substantiated by the Yerushalmi Chala. It says, Mefurish all three together.
But he did make a mochi then when we all make a mochi.
Yeah, at the beginning of the meal, he said, The Rambam Shita is that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten separately. The Rambam has a unique Shita that everything on Pesach night, everything that's a mitzvah sachila, has to be dipped into charoses. The Gemara has a machlokes, what does charoses represent?
According to the Rambam, we also hold the day of kizayis of Pesach at the beginning of the meal.
Right.
Therefore, we could have had karyak, matzah, and mara, and karyak Pesach at the very beginning of the meal.
Yeah.
He didn't have to wait till the end of the meal.
According to the Rambam, the Kricha was only matzah and mara.
But if it's still trying to kill
The other Rishonim hold is only one kezayis at the end of the meal, so they didn't have any Korban Pesach in the beginning. And then the Kricha had to be Pesach Matzah Umar. Only the Rambam holds now. So according to the other Rishonim, the Kricha had to be at the end of the meal with the Korban Pesach. You only eat the Korban Pesach at the end. The Rambam holds true that you eat the Korban Pesach in the beginning, at the end, and in the end. But the Rambam holds that the Kricha didn't include the Korban Pesach. It was only the Matzah Umar. According to the Rambam, the Kricha probably was in the beginning of the meal. It was not at the end of the meal.
But
the Rambam has a unique shita. Yeah.
No one holds just eat the Pesach with the Moro, forget the Matzah.
No.
No one holds that.
No.
But how do you end up with...
The Rambam has a unique Shita. The Rambam Shita is, there's a Machlokes in the Gemara, a Machlokes in the Mishnah, in Arab Pesachim. What is the purpose of the Charoses? So Rav Lezer Rav Tzadik says that it's a mitzvah to have Charoses on Pesach. And the other Tanaim disagree, it's not a mitzvah. What does the Gemara say? A mitzvah? So the Gemara says, either Zecher Letit, Zecher to the...
Water
that they used to build with, or Zecher le Tapuach, Tachas ha Tapuach haRatifa, the pasuk in Shir Shir, or the Yerushalmi quoted by Tosfos says Zecher le Dam, that you should mix in red wine that it should look bloody. Zecher le Dam. The three different reasons for the charoses. So that's like Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Tzadik, that it's a mitzvah. And the Chachamim disagree. They say it's no mitzvah. So the Gemara said there's no mitzvah. So why in the world do you have charoses? It's a minig. What is that? The Gemara says no. The charoses is mishum kippah. No, the Gemara says charoses is mishum kippah, to kill the worm. That there's a bug or a worm that's in the maror that's unhealthy. It's not treif. The Gemara says it's not treif. The Rambam tries to say why? Because it developed inside the vegetable. The deal is, if a worm is crawling over here and it crawls inside a vegetable, inside an apple, then it's awesome. Then you have to get it out. And it's not enough if you kill it inside. It won't be dangerous. It's unhealthy if you have live worms. So you have to kill the worm for health reasons. But then, if they kill the worm, you have to remove the worm. If it crawls from the outside to the inside, then you have to remove the worm, you're not allowed to eat it. But if the worm eggs hatched inside the fruit of the vegetable, then it's mutter to eat the worm. It's just that it's unhealthy. So the Gemara says you have to dip the maror into the charoses, and the charoses has such a sharp reyach, such a sharp aroma, it'll kill the worm. Then the Gemara says you have to shake off the charoses. People make a mistake. The people pile on a lot of charoses on the Mara. So the Gemara says that you're not yotze the mitzvah then. You put charoses because the charoses is not supposed to be eaten together with the Mara. You have to dip it in and then shake it all off. So that's according to the Chachamim that charoses is not a mitzvah. You only have charoses for the sake of dipping in the Mara to kill the worm. What about according to Rav Lezer Rav Tzadik that charoses is a mitzvah? So it's a mitzvah to remember Zecher Letit and Zecher Letapuch and Zecher Ledam. So why do you only have the charoses in connection with the maror? Why don't you have the charoses in connection with everything? So the Rambam says, Anachanami. You have to dip the matzah into charoses and shake off the matzah. Shake off the charoses and the matzah. You have to dip the karpas into charoses, the Rambam says, and shake off the charoses. You have to dip the maror and shake off the charoses. But the Korban Pesach, you don't dip in. Korban Pesach stands alone. It's the Rambam Shita, because the Mishnah says that you have to eat the Korban Pesach at the end, Kadesh Yehei. They not tam pesach the fig. So if you're going to dip it into harayis, even if you're going to shake off the harayis, but it's still going to be a mixture of some other flavor there. The Rama holds that's the halacha, that the korban pesach has to be eaten completely separate. You don't dip it into any harayis, even though harayis is a mitzvah midrabbanan, according to Rav Elazar ben Tzadik. And the Rama on the Aruch HaZaket passes like Rav Elazar ben Tzadik, that it's a mitzvah. That's how he comes off to say that it's a mitzvah to dip the matzah in, but you have to kill the bugs in the matzah. There's no worms in the matzah. He's not worried about worms. If you hold like the chachamim, the chalosis is not a mitzvah.
You have to shake it off.
You shouldn't have the time.
No, you have to shake it off because the pashto says that there's no mitzvah to eat chalosis. The mitzvah is only to dip in. The zechel adama, zechel atapuch, zechel atit is just to dip in. So if you lead it with chalosis, then you'll say a dvar harshus is mevatla dvar mitzvah. That's the pashto's like that. So the Rambam and the Aruch HaZaket writes that chalosis is a mitzvah. What's a mitzvah? To dip in the matzah, to dip in the karkas, to dip in the mor, and then to shake it off. To dip everything in. All the mitzvahs achilah should be dipped in except for korban pesach. That's l'shitasa that he holds that Hillel didn't have a kricha all three together. Pesach, matzah, umorah. The kricha, the sandwich only consisted of matzah and mor. And the pesach has to be eaten separately. So that's what he holds. Even Aliba the Hillel, it's only machlokes Hillel and the Rabbanan. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of matzah and mor? The pesach always is eaten separately. That's the Rambam and Gantz in a different sheet. The Rambam, the Pirush HaMishnai, his passing is not so. The Rambam, the Pirush HaMishnai, writes that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, who holds the Charoses, is a mitzvah, you should have recited a bracha before you eat the Charoses. So from the fact that we don't have, nobody eats a Kazai's Charoses, and nobody has that bracha, and our Haggadah, so the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnai, that's a proof, that's a demonstration, that we don't pass like Rav Elazar ben Tzadik, that charoses is not a mitzvah. It's only for the sake of killing the bugs, of killing the
bugs. We have dogs that we make in the beginning.
Okay, but you don't say a bracha al achilas charoses. The Rambam says, according to Rav Elazar ben Tzadik, you should say a bracha al achilas charoses. So from the Rambam and the Aruch HaZaket, from the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis, you see that he holds that according to Rav Elazar ben Tzadik, who holds charoses mitzvah, it doesn't mean that it's a mitzvah to dip in all the mitzvahs achil into charoses. Mitzvah to dip in karpas, a mitzvah to dip in matzah, a mitzvah to dip in mor. No, it's mitzvah to eat charoses. Just like it's a mitzvah to eat karpas, a mitzvah to eat matzah, so it's a mitzvah to eat charoses. And you should say a bracha al achilas charoses. But he says, we don't pass them like that. That's what he writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis. We don't pass them like that. Otherwise, if you would have passed them like Rav Elazar ben Tzadik, you would have to eat a kazai charoses. And he cited bracha in advance, al achilas charoses. It's like this. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnai says that according to Rav Elazar ben Tzadik, that charoses is a mitzvah. What it means is not a mitzvah to dip in. To dip in is to kill the bugs, to kill the worms. It's a different story. But it's a mitzvah to eat a kazayis of charoses and to say a bracha before you eat it, al achilas charoses. And then he adds on, but from the fact that we don't have that bracha in our haggadahs, is it right? We don't pass like Rav Elazar ben Tzadik. And the Aruch HaZaket, the Rambam contradicts what he writes in the Pirush HaMishnai. So like a Mishnah points out, the Aruch HaZaket, the Rambam writes that we do pass like Rav Elazar ben Tzadik, that charoses is a mitzvah. Either shaila is, and what is the mitzvah? So he doesn't write that it's a mitzvah to eat a kazayis charoses. He says a mitzvah to dip in the karpas and charoses, and to dip in the matzah and charoses, to dip in the mor, to shake off all the charoses, right? But he doesn't say it's a mitzvah to eat it. But why don't you say a bracha? So what bracha are you going to say? You're going to say a bracha al achilas charoses, you don't eat it. Why should you say a bracha al tvilas karpas de charoses? Al tfilas mor of the charoses, so the tour, and many Rishonim say that even though charoses is a mitzvah to dip in the karpas and to dip in the matzah, to dip in the moror, you don't say a bracha on that because we have a klal of ikar and tofa. Let's say somebody's eating potatoes with butter on it. So potatoes is bar pi adom and butter is shahakal. So does he say two brachas? He says bar pi adom on the potatoes and he says shahakal on the butter. No, you have a klal of ikar and tofa. So birach al ikar, fatar is atfeilo, the Mishnah says in brachas. When it comes to birchas anehenin, if you say the bracha on the ikar, you don't have to recite a bracha on the tofa. So the Rishonim say the same is true. The Tosfos on Maleis Daf and Kuf Chof Aleph Manalik himself and quotes a Yerushalmi that the same applies to birchas hamitzvahs as well. Not only to birchas hanen, and the same applies to birchas hamitzvahs. When you're doing two mitzvahs, very strange concept. When you do two mitzvahs, and one mitzvah is an ikar, and the other mitzvah is a tofel, one mitzvah is tofel to the other. Very strange. So then you only say a bracha on the ikar, and you don't say a bracha on the tofa. So what's an example? So Tesis there quotes Yerushalmi gives a very strange example. The Mishnah has, the last Mishnah has a machleik is hatanoim. On Pesach night, you eat two karbonis. This my amigdosh. You eat a little bit of the chagigas arbo asa. Everybody's supposed to eat a little bit of chagigas arbo asa. Then you eat a little bit of the korban Pesach, hakezayis of the chagiga, and the kezayis of the korban Pesach. So do you recite two brachas? Before you eat the korban Pesach, you say a bracha, Hashem Hashem Hashem, al achilas ha-Pesach. Do you also say a bracha before you eat the chagiga, al achilas ha-Zebach? So that's a machleik is
hatana. Is chagiga really a mitzvah? The 14th day? Was chagiga is a mitzvah on the 15th day to bring korban? That's the mitzvah.
The two chagigas, the chagiga on the 15th day.
Not necessarily because of it's, if it comes on Pesach on a Shabbos, right. You don't bring it.
Right, we pass and you don't bring it. Right, there's a machleik is hatanaim. What if Pesach falls out on Shabbos? So the din is that the korban Pesach is doich Shabbos. So you shech the korban Pesach on Shabbos afternoon. On Shabbos afternoon, you shech the korban Pesach. You also shech the chagigas abrosa. So the Gemara says on Daf Ayin that depends when the chagigas abrosa is the rice or the rabbanon. Ben Tamer, one Tana by the name of Ben Tamer, is of the opinion that Chagig Sabros is the Raisa, and you must always bring a Korban Chagiga, and it's even Doich HaShabbos. And we pass the Chagig Sabros is only the Rabbanon, it's not the Raisa. The real Chagiga that's certainly the Raisa is the Chagiga that you bring on Yontem, not the Chagiga you bring on Erev Yontem. And each one of the Shalosh Regolim, there's an obligation to bring Riyah Chagiga and Simcha. The Gemara says in the first paragraph of Chagiga, the Gemara quotes at the Sef, the Gimel Mitzvahs in Stavi Yisrael, Bali Yosem LaRegel, and each one of the Shalosh Regolim. On Pesach, on Shavuos, and Sukkot, every Jew is obligated to participate in Hakrovas Korban Chagiga. I don't have to buy a Shalmei Chagiga all by myself. All 100 people can buy one Korban Chagiga, and each one will get one lemcha. He's not mechuyev to buy a whole Korban Chagiga all by himself. All together, a few hundred people can bring one Chagiga, and each one will get it. Kazai, it's not mechuyev to eat 25 kazais. And the same thing, let's say the Riyah, the Oilas Riyah. You don't say every person has to pay for his own Oilas Riyah. You can get 350 people, buy one Korban Oilas Riyah, and burn it on the Mizbech, and all 350 people will be yetzid, oil of Sriya, b'shutzvitz. There's no law that every person has to bring his own. But the Gemara says a din, the Gemara quotes at the Sefer, that Gimel Mitzvahs, Nitztavi Yisrael Bali Yosem Oregel. And every one of the Shalosh Regolim, on Pesach, on Shavuot, on Sukkot, everybody has to be at least a shutiv in a Shalmei Chagiga, in an oil of Sriya, and in a Korban Simcha, whatever that is. That's a problem, what the third one is, what the Korban Simcha is. That's a big shayla in Rishon. Shlomim, or does it mean that you have to eat it, they just have to be makrevit, someone else, it's a problem.
It's very similar.
It's a question, what is it? It's a question, it's a whole asik with the tzlach, with the ram, it's all shalit, what is the third carbon simcha? The Gemara says, and the Gemara never explains. Riyah chagiga, we know what they are. And simcha is unclear what it means, that's a problem. So that's the chagiga's chamisha also, that's really the raisa. The chagiga that you bring on Yom Tov, on Chalamoy, that's the mitzvah's chagiga that's mentioned in Chumash. Shalosh parim v'asharet tochog li.
That would be Be'er Shabbos?
No, that's not Be'er Shabbos because you have Tashlumin, you can bring it on Chalamoy. And on Shavuos you can bring it for the next 6 days after Shavuos also. So that's not called a mitzvah shezman kavua because you have another couple of days to bring it. The Chagigas HaBrasah is a machlokes hatanoim adafayin, whether it's deraisa or the rabbanon. So we pass the Chagigas HaBrasah is lav deraisa, and it's only the rabbanon. But still it's a mitzvah with the rabbanon to bring a Chagiga and a Korban Pesach.
That's kavua,
but it's only with the rabbanon. Right. So that's not going to be Deich HaShabbos. The Chagigas HaBrasah will not be Deich HaShabbos. Right. Yeah, well, you can eat matzah, you can eat knedlach,
well,
you can eat other things. Chicken, fish, you feel good. That's also Machlokes HaTanaim. According to the Tana Ben Tema, who says Chagigas HaBrasah is deraisa, so he says it has all, and it's Deich HaShabbos, he says it has all the dinim of the Korban Pesach. Has to be only an akvasim and oizim. Has to be a ben shana before its first birthday, and has to zanisir etzim loisishburbo. And has all the same dinim as the korban pesach. All the exact same dinim as the korban pesach, except that it's not a korban pesach.
Maybe a lamb.
Yeah, maybe a lamb. The same as the korban pesach. Either a akvasim or oizim. Either a goat or a lamb. You have to hold cup. And the hachamim, the ben tamer, disagree, and they say no. Chagigas HaBrasah love their rice. And it's not based on the pasuk that seems to be equating it with the Korban Pesach. And it can be bought min akvasim min oizim or min abakam min atzom. It can be bought behem adak or behem agas.
There's no minu by a Korban Chagiga on the Rav Ossi. There's no minu. By Korban Pesach has to be a minu.
Right. The Gemara says according to Ben Tema, I think that you do need limenuyo. I think so. The Gemara raises the question. How many of the dinim of Korban Pesach apply to Chagigas HaBrasah according to Ben Tema? See, Ben Tam is the one who says that they both have to be broiled. Balayla ze kulo tzli. What do you mean balayla ze kulo tzli? You should b'chol ha-leilu san ochlim. Oh, we don't say that.
We don't say
it. The fear kashis in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah has. And the Bizman she Beis HaMikdash ha kayam, and the Manashtana that I said, Manashtana alayla ze mikol ha-leilu, you should b'chol ha-leilu san ochlim, b'oset tzli shalok ha-mavushol, alayla ze kulo tzli. That's the Lashon HaMishnah. So the Gemara comments on the Mishnah. What do you mean? Alayla is that kulot tzli? Everything is broiled. It's not everything broiled. The carbon pesach is tzli. Tzli yeshematzis emaram yachlu. But the chagigas abos is not kulot tzli. So the Gemara says masnisin mani ben temehi. The ben temehos and chagigas abos is the raisa and has all the exact same dinim as the carbon pesach. It has to be tzli dafke. It has to be melakvasim and reizim and so on. That's the Mishnah. That's the Mishnah on kufte zayinim and aleph. The Gemara says, "Halayla is a kulotzli." Follows Ben Tema Shita. So Tesis has a shaila. How do we paskin la loga? Do we paskin like Ben Tema? The Pashta says we don't paskin like Ben Tema. We don't paskin that it's Deicha Shabbos. It's Deiraisa. Pashta says that we paskin is not Deicha Shabbos. So nevertheless, Tesis points out that when you have the shtei, when you have the shnei tafshilin, the Mishnah has a takana that after the churban abayis, you have to have shnei tafshilin on the seder plate. What's the significance of the shnei tafshilin? So the Gemara says that it's Zechel HaPesach and Zechel HaChagiga. Originally, the Gemara had a different shot. Originally, the Gemara said that it's not a Takana de Rabbanan after the Churban Abayis, Zechel HaPesach and Zechel HaChagiga, but it's even Mizman Abayis. You have to have a two-course meal. You have to have two different tafshilin to demonstrate that it's a Surah Hashuva, like an Erev Tisha B'Av after Chatzos. And you eat the Surah Mafsek, so the Mishnah has it in. You're not permitted to have Shnei tafshilin. You can have all the raw fruits and vegetables you want, but cooked foods, you're not allowed to have more than one. If you have Shnei tafshilin, so that's koveh, that it's already a surah hashuva, and one is not permitted to have a surah hashuva for the surah mafsekas and erev tishba v'erev tachatzos. It's similar to the din that on erev tishba we're not allowed to have surah hashuva. The surah of the seder on Pesach night has to be a surah hashuva to show that we're bnei choron, that we're millionaires, that we're free people now. So we do have shnei tafshilin. So the Gemara originally thought, the first mamnam the Gemara held that the din of shnei tafshilin is not because after the churban abayis they made a zechel, a pesach, and zechel, it has nothing to do with that. It's a mitzvah to have shnei tafshilin, to have a two-course meal on Pesach night, to have that it should be a surah hashiv. The Zman HaMikdash it always would be, because you had a Pesach and you had a chagig, so you're always going to have shnei tafshilin.
Not if they're the same thing.
No? Exactly the same min. Okay, maybe it wouldn't be shnei tafshilin. So then the Gemara says, no, that's not the reason for the shnei tafshilin, that it should be called the surah hashuva, but it's rather for the sake of having a zechel Pesach and zechel chagig. So that's what Tesis says. Since one of the two tafshilin is a zechel pesach, so you should broil it. You should broil it over the, rather than just have some cooked piece of meat, or a cooked piece of chicken, you should broil it over the fire to toast it. So the shad is, what about the other tafshilin? Should you broil both of the tafshilin? Our meaning is that we take a fligala and we take an egg. So the fligala, after you cook it, so you hold it, or you take a bone, whatever, you take some meat. If you just take a bone that doesn't have any flesh on it, so that's not shnei tafshilin. It has to be dafki, it has to have food on it. You can have a bone also, but the ikur they should have food on it. So after you've cooked it already, then the minig is based on the taste is that you hold it over the fire a little bit and you singe it and you broil it a little bit. That it should really be a zechel contest. On Pesach night, the minig is that we don't eat broil, but if you want to eat it in the daytime, you may. So Lee, there were two minhagim. Is man amigdosh the korban pesach had to be dafkid sli. After the korban pesach amigdosh, the Mishnah Matan Shenov in the fourth parak of Pesachim quotes two minhagim. Some places they had a mini dafkid sli to have a zechel of pesach to remember that in the days of the Beis Hamikdash they used to have korban pesach, and the other places the mini was dafkid not to have sli that no one should think that we're eating kachem afur. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that the mini by the Ashkenazim is in Europe. European minig is that we don't eat tzli. By Svardim, some of the Svardim minig is dafka that they do eat tzli.
The tzli is the meat over the fire, or let's say meat that is not over. It's cooked.
Pot roast. Yeah, those are different minhagim already. Within the minig that
that's
you don't
not
eat tzli. Yeah, the whole thing is a minig. Not to eat tzli is a minig.
Yeah.
So then the shayla is within the minig that you don't eat lamb chops, or you don't eat broiled on Pesach.
Steak.
What if it's not broiled? What if it's not broiled steak? What if it's pot roast? What if it's roasted? What if it's roasted chicken or roasted flesh? So the Aruch HaShulchan says that it's muta. And others say no. Others assume that pot roast is the same as tzli. The different minhagim within that. And others have the minig davki. By many svarim have the minig davki to eat tzli on Pesach night, like the other minig that's mentioned in the Mishnah. They have davki as zechel HaPesach. So Taisa says that the one of the two tafshilin should be dafke broiled because it's zechel of Pesach, and if on Pesach it'll be dafke tzli. What about the other tafshil, the one that's zechel of Chagiga, does that have to be broiled also? So that depends on this machlokes ben Taimo and Chachamim. According to ben Taimo, that not only did the Pesach have to be tzli, but the Chagiga has to be tzli as well. And the Mishnah that quotes the Manash Tanim is Ma'am Migdash. But they said Alayla, Zakulo tzli. The Gemara says that follows Ben Taimo, everything, both the Pesach and the Chagigah. So if the din would be like Ben Taimo, then the proper thing would be to broil the egg as well. That's what they quote in Shulchan Aruch, that many people have a meaning that you broil not only the fligala, not only the piece of flesh, broil the egg as well to be machmah for Ben Taimo's opinion. That Ben Taimo holds that they both had to be broiled, both the Pesach and the Chagigah. Means that first you cook an egg, first you cook the egg in the pot. After you have a hard boiled egg, you take off the shell, then you hold it over the fire for a while, and then you toast it.
With the shell.
With the shell, okay. Sure, with the shell is not going to get too. Three times a year is the Chagigah's Tezvah. That's the Karma Chagigah that you bring on Yom Tov. That's for sure a din d'oraisa. And that doesn't have to be dafke tzli. That doesn't, for sure that doesn't have to dafke tzli. That's not Deuch HaShabbos, but you have all 7 days to bring. But the Chagigah that you bring on Erev Pesach, that's the Machloikis HaTanoim. On Pesach you bring two Chagigahs. One Chagigah sometime during the course of Pesach, either Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed. Then you bring another Chagigah Sarbo also on Erev Pesach, which is supposed to eat on Pesach night, before you eat the Korban Pesach. So the Pesach will be Nechal Al Asov. So that Chagigah Sarbo also, that's a Machloikis HaTanoim, whether that's the Reis or the Rabbon. That's what the pashtus is, that we pass can lob their rice.
When you say it's vachem and avsochem and avsochem, and Moshe Shabbos, you say for kev.
Right.
According to Rambam, why did he eat chagigas? The Rambam says you can eat the first kisayis al
teyomet. Yeah, yeah.
Right. So what I eat the chagigah for? That's the avsoch. I already can eat the chagigah.
Can eat matzi, can eat kleilach, soup, eh? I don't know, that's what the Gemara says, that the institute of the Chagigah Sabasa, if it's love their eyes, they could actually have Pesach, Nechal Al Asola.
Yeah, those are all the items that come Pesach
But you have to eat some at the end also, Al Asola. So the part that eat Al Asola should be eaten following.
Yeah, but on the other hand, how did the Rabbanan answer the Rambam's question about how you can, according to Hilly, you can have Pesach Matzah Mar, you won't taste it from Pesach, but you eat Matzah Mar, sandwich.
No. So the other Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam, the Rishonim says Mefurish like that, then he'll eat all three together. That's the mitzvah, to eat all three together. I think the Gemara and Afayin has a suffix within Ben Taimo. According to the Halacha, if you don't hold like Ben Taimo, the Chagigah Sabbos says love their rice, it doesn't have to be tzli, and then it's not the Shabbos, and you certainly don't need the Menuhin. The Shaila Nimar is according to Ben Taimo that it has a lot of dinim that are similar to the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara raises that Shaila. Do you need the Menuhin for Nasa?
I don't remember what the Maskon is. If you tell me, could you eat the
Chagigah Pesach? Chagigah is also. It's not Nechal, it's not Nechal Mutuna. No, that's not. Only Korban Pesach.
You can't be a Tfor Yom. When you bring the Pesach, you can't be a Tfor Yom. At the time that you're on Menuhin, you've got to have higher Shimshol.
You know, it's like how complicated things. So the question is, the Chagigah have all these, you know, sets of complicated halacha, or at the time they bring it to you, but by Pesach Major already been taught, or you see it. Don't you remember? I think the Gemara probably discusses it in the foolish. I don't remember. On Pesach night, the Gemara says that there's a special din that when you say Hamoitzi and Avachilas Matzah, you should have a prusa. You have to have a broken matzah. Why? Because the pasuk refers to the mitzvah of matzah as eating lechemoni. You have to eat lechemoni. What does it mean lechemoni? So the Gemara has various drushes on that term. So one of the drushes is that Madar Kishalani the prusa, that an oni, a poor man, can't afford to bake his own matzah, he can't afford to buy his own bread. So he goes around snoring food from the beer. So he knocks on someone's door and he asks for an adobe. So what are they giving him? They're going to give him a whole challah? They'll give him the leftover challahs like that. So they'll give him a prusa. As the pasuk says in Yeshaya, halafros le'vayim lachmecho. He should break off a piece of bread, lachmecho, and give a piece of broken piece of bread to the yoni. So that's what the Gemara says. Madar kishalani b'prusa. What does the poor man have? The prusa that the gvirim give him. So on Pesach night, the mitzvah is that you should eat the matzah fruits. So Tosfos raises the question, alright, on Daf Chuf Chazayin Amud Aleph, alright, so what's going to be with the din of Lechem Mishneh? And every Shabbos and Yom Tov there's a din of Lechem Mishneh. So Tosfos quotes the Machlokes HaRishonim, Tosfos here, and Tosfos in Brachos has the same Machlokes, where's in the Brachos, Daf Lamed Tes has the same Machlokes. How do these two dinim jive? On the one hand, you have to have Lechem Mishneh, you have to have two Shleimus for Lechem Mishneh. On the other hand, you want to have a Prusa. So we fulfill both dinim by having two and a half matzahs. We have two Shleimus, and we have one Prusa. Oh, that's what we'll get to. Right? And the Vilna Gaon follow the Rambam Shita, follow the Rif, and follow the other opinion of Tosfos that you only have one and a half. Right? You have one and a half matzahs. Baket, if you have two and a half matzahs, so how will you fulfill lechem onim adak shaloni beprusa? It's like a gvir. He has two shleimus and a prusa. That's a gvir. If you don't have lechem mishneh, if he doesn't have, if he can't afford to have lechem mishneh, he bedavka doesn't have two shleimus. If he has one shleim and one prusa, so that dak shaloni a gvir on every Yom Tov and Shabbos would have two shleimus.
How does that work exactly? You have to take a matzah, I cut it in half, and I give it to you. Did I give you half a matzah? Did I give you a whole matzah? How do you know? You only can compare it to a full matzah that you know I broke apart half of it. But if I give you half a matzah, I tell you this is a whole matzah, you don't know what the difference is.
You look around the edges.
Oh, you have brown matzah. You have twin matzah.
You have a machine.
It's a little machine. It's a twin matzah.
Oh, machine matzah is back at profit. Machine matzahs. When they first started the machine matzahs, there was a big deal among the rabbanim whether it's called a shleim or not.
Yeah.
They can use the machine matzah to count as a shleim or not. Maybe they're all prusas because they all come out as big sheets, and then they break them later. So maybe it's not called a shleim. So many rabbanim tell like that it's not called a shleim, but it's generally assumed that it is because melechatchila was intended. It was intended that they should be these sizes. Right, so that says Beferish in the Shulchan Aruch that if you bake separate challahs and they expanded because of the heat, and then they bake together, and then it says that let's say on a regular Shabbos, a regular Yom Tov, you have two challahs that are stuck together because they were baked together. Then it says lachatchila, it's preferable to separate them. Don't say that now it's shleimus and if I separate them, they'll both become prusas. No. The chatchil is preferable to separate them, that there should be nikkur that they're two separate chalas. Otherwise, it won't look like lechem mishneh. When you separate them, that's not called a chisorin of prusa. That's called each one is a shleimah. Because there they were intended to be separate. So that's what we are making. We assume that on the machine matzah, even though it all comes out initially as one sheet, but since it was intended to be made as a separate unit, and we break it on the lines, so that's called shleimah. No, but you can still tell. You can still tell how much is a shleimah. You can tell whether this was the original intended size or it's not. Alright. So that's the machlokes that Tosfos quotes on Kuf Tezayin and Aleph, whether you should have Lecha Mishneh in addition to the Prusa, or you should have no. The din of Madarka Shalani the Prusa tells you that on Pesach night you should Bedavke not have Lecha Mishneh. If you have two Shleimus and a Prusa like we do, then where do you see that it's Lecha Moni Madarka Shalani the Prusa Faket Zachagvir that he has 2.5 months? That's the machlokes. What does this machlokes really depend on? So the machlokes is, what is the relationship between the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of sudas Yom Tov? Every Shabbos and Yom Tov there's a mitzvah to have a suda. Mid rabbanon, mid raisa, whatever problem with the rabbanon. And every time you have this mitzvah to have a suda Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah to have lecha mishneh. On Pesach night there's a mitzvah to have matzah. Does this mitzvah to have matzah on Pesach night mean that this is the way you should fulfill the mitzvah of sudas Yom Tov? On Pesach night, one should be mekayim the mitzvah of suda by having matzah. This is what the suda should consist of. So if that's the pshat, then the Rambam and the Rif and the Vilna Gaon are right. And that day in Pesach, they should have davke 1.5. Because the pasuk says, lechem onim adak shaloni bepruso, that you want to demonstrate davke that the mitzvah of suda tonight is going to be bepruso like an oni. So this pasuk of adak shaloni bepruso tells you lapuke, that you should bedavke not have lecha mishneh of two shleimus. Tonight, the mitzvah suda is different from every other Shabbos and Yom Tov. That it should be davke beprusa.
If you have another town for oil by the Rav Dov, and you have a din about Yom Tov, you have to have shleimus. So why shouldn't you say? So why do you have to go davke to this one?
You should say the other town. But we pass in like all of them. We pass in all of the Rav Dov. We also pass in lecha moini the prusa, we pass from that too.
You didn't have both of the dinner. If you have shleimus, a dinner of shleimus bayontiv, so you shouldn't.
No, so that's the shaila. That's the machlekes that Taisa says. On the one hand, we have a dinner every Shabbos and yontiv. The suda has to consist of two shleimos. And on Pesach night, the Torah says that the mitzvah matzah should be prusa. So the shaila is, what is the relationship, if any, between the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of sudas yontiv? Does the Torah mean to say that on Pesach night, the sudas yontiv should consist of matzah? So then the Torah is telling me that you should not have lecha mishnah tonight, you should not have two shleimus, you should have davke prusa for the sudas yontiv. Or perhaps the other Rishayim say, no, perhaps I should say that these are two separate mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah to have sudas yontiv, which always is supposed to consist of two shleimus. There's another, then there's another unrelated mitzvah to have matzah on Pesach night. Not necessarily part of the sudas yontiv. Separate. So for the mitzvah of matzah, the Torah says you should have a prusa. For the mitzvah of suda, which is a separate, unrelated mitzvah, you have to have lecha mishnah. So the mele comes out, you have to have 2.5 matzahs. That's the machlekes in the Rishonim. That's the machlekes in the Rishonim. This is the chumra that the Shulchan Aruch quote, a big chumra that when you say hamoitzi, ha'achilas matzah, you should right away eat 2 kizesim of matzah. Why do you have to eat 2 kizesim of matzah? So in the Shulchan Aruch, they explain, number one, there's a machlekes now when you say the hamoitzi, ha'achilas matzah, whether you should eat a kazayis from the prusa or kazayis from the shleima. So you eat a little bit from the prusa, a little bit from the shleima. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Everybody should have a little bit from the broken matzah and a little bit from the shleima. But why do you have to have a kazayis from the prusa and a kazayis from the shleima? What do you have to have 2 kazayisim for? It's not enough with 1 kazayis.
It's impossible.
So you have to take additional matzah. Well, you have to have additional matzah. Everybody should have a little bit, at least a little bit from the shleimo to be yotze lecha mishnah, and then everybody should have a little bit from the prusa to be yotze chad shadina of madarke shalal of the prusa, and then the rest of the kezayis or the rest of the 2 kezayis, if they want to be makom for the 2 kezayis, and they should be mashlim with the other shmura matzah that they have. So the Mishnah Berurah points out he doesn't understand why should you have to have davke in 2 kezayis. So he quotes that he thinks that this is a minority opinion. When you say Hamoti Alachi Das Matzah, you have to have 2 kizaisim. Even though the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, he thinks this is only the Rosh and another Rishon, and most of the Rishonim don't quote this. But you have to have Davke 2 kizaisim. What is it based on? Why should these Rishonim insist you have to have Davke 2 kizaisim? So the Rosh seems to hold because these are 2 different mitzvahs. You have to have a kizayis pass on Pesach like on every Yontif because of the mitzvah of Suras Yontif. And then you have to have a kizayis matzah because of the mitzvah of matzah. And the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of suras yontif are unrelated. It's not that the mitzvah is that tonight I should fulfill the mitzvah of suras yontif by having a matzah prusa. No, these are 2 separate mitzvahs. For haraya, that's the way we follow. We have 2 shleimus in addition to the prusa. We have the 2 shleimus for the mitzvah of suras yontif. Then we have the prusa for the mitzvah of matzah. We assume that they're unrelated, 2 separate unrelated mitzvahs. So that's why the Rosh and one other Rishon quoted by the Shulchan Aruch say that the proper thing is that the person should have 2 kizaisim. When he says Hamoitzi Alachilas Matzah, should have 2 kizaisim to fulfill on 1 kizais the mitzvah of Sulas Yontif, and to eat the other kizais to fulfill the mitzvah of kizais matzah. The Pashto says you have to have more than kizais. You have to have either kibetza or yosim kibetza. Taisa says you don't fulfill the Sulas Yontif unless you have yosim kibetza. Taisa has arrived from a Mishnah Sukkah. But there's one opinion that it's enough with the kazai. So for Pesach night the Mekel, if one wants to be machmir on Pesach night, so he should be required to have, when he says Hamotzi Alachilas Matzah, he should have Yosef Mikibetza of 1 matzah and then have a kazai of the other matzah. That's a lot. So the Shulchan Aruch is Mekel for us. It says that it's enough if you have, when you first say Hamotzi Alachilas Matzah, you have 2 kazais, 1 kazai for the Suda and 1 kazai for the Mitzvah Matzah. Right.
I mean, so in other words, you're going to still eat. Well, I mean, at present day measurements, you're going to eat 3 kazaisim to rabbanis or 1 to rabbanis, right?
You mean if you have bigger kazaisim?
No.
Let's assume you don't have bigger kazaisim. Let's assume all the kazaisim are the same size.
What?
Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about 2 sizes kazaisim. That's
well,
an invention. That's an invention for the note of Yehuda. That with respect to din of deraisa, you have to have all the shiurim multiplied. Everything has to be twice as big. But let's assume without the note of Yehuda. Before the note of Yehuda, days of the Mechaber, the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have double shiur. A kazais deraisa was the same as a kazais derabban.
So, what you said,
In the OU pamphlet, they write that it's one third of a machine matzah.
Third
of a machine matzah. Eat a third and a half. Yeah. Because the ice is an olive. An olive is not so big.
The idea that the shirim got smaller is that from growing times with the
shulchan aruch, the olive gets smaller. No, the Yehuda writes in the sefer on Psochim. He wrote a sefer tzion l'nefesh chai. It's called the tzlach. Rosh Tev is called the tzlach. So at the end of Psochim, the Gemara tells you how much is the revius. The Gemara says an egg and a, the volume of an egg and a half with the shell. The volume of an egg and a half with the shell is the revius of a mashka. Then the Gemara says how do, that has to be a beit abayin, an average egg, not a large size egg, an average size egg, a beit abayin. So then the Gemara says, how do you figure this out with your fingers? How much would it be volume like this? So the Gemara gives you the measurement of a mikveh. A mikveh is 40 saw, and then the Gemara gives you the relationship between the saw and the revius. Okay, just multiply so much more. And then the Gemara gives you how big the mikveh is. Amo alama berum gimel amos. It's 3 cubic amos. So then the Rabbi Yehuda made the calculation based on his thumbs about how big the mikveh should be, and he figured out based on the egg and a half, and it didn't coincide. It didn't correspond. So the problem was that the shear based on his fingers came out to be much bigger than the shear based on the egg. So this led him to the conclusion that the beitzim got smaller as manazim. That miskatma shiurim and the half the size that they used to be. From the days of the Gemara.
Because I saw it in one coach using that, he said in the name of a merchant, another first thing he said, from the days of the Shulchan Aruch, they got yet smaller. Which, I don't know, it seems so strange if the eggs got smaller.
That's the chiddush of the Nevi. So one of the Talmidim commented that Nevi Yehuda was apparently a tall person. He was very big, very bony,
big fingers.
So the Talmud said the Rebbe is on Adam Gadol. So that's why the fingers came out to be so big. By an average person, it would stim, there wouldn't be any kasha. So Nevi Yehuda chuckled. So there's a machlokes acharon of upshot in the chocolate. The cycle has a whole sefer on this. The Chazanish's brother-in-law has a whole sefer that's called Shiurim Shel Torah, where he discusses what is the size of the kezayis, what's the size of the vees, and what's the size of the ritzus or tefillin and so on. So he writes and he documents the whole story from acharon. But then if you heard a chuckle when the tshuva meyava, that is the Talmud that said the Rebbe is an Adam Gadol, that's why the fingers came out bigger. The eggs are really the normal size, and the people are the same size also, but you have bigger fingers than normal people. So now you hear the laugh, so there's a machlag zachan, what the laugh meant. But the laugh meant that it's a good joke, but Nicodemus, he holds that his cheshbon was correct, and you still have to double the shirim. No, he chuckled and he was masking that his fingers were taka bigger, and he had charata from what he wrote in the tzlach. So that's a machlag zachan, and the people who were there, the talmidim of the Nerev Yehuda who were there, had a machlag zachan, what pshat and the chuckle was. That he had charata from what he wrote in the tzlach on that. But the Maaseh, many Achareim disagree with the Tzlach. They say that it's not true that Miskatan HaShiur. Many Achareim disagree, they say the Shurim are always the same. There's Rabbi Chana Vassman quotes the Tshuvas HaGoinim. The Goinim say, why did the Torah give the Shurim in Beitzim, in Kezesim? Why didn't they give in ounces, inches, and other things? So the Goinim write in the Tshuva, the Rabbanu Shalom gave the Shurim and Beitzim and Zeisim, things that are standard that will never change. If the Rebbeinu Shlomo given ounces or in pounds or in inches or in miles, so every country is going to change, going to be a different system. But the eggs are the same from Sheshes made Breshes, and the Zeisim are the same. So that's what the Goinim, that's what Rabbi Chana Vassman quotes from the Tshuvas HaGoinim that was printed in his days. You see that they hold not like the Tzlach. And the many Achreim disagree with the Tzlach. That's a shayla what the Mukhiv to be Machma for the Tzlach Chumre, that everything should be twice as big. No, the second night of Pesach is only Mudirabbana. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golis is only
Mudirabbana.
Right, only the first night. The whole Seder on the second night is only Mudirabbana. The Baal HaMor in the end of Sochim states clearly that just like on all the 7 days of Sukkot, there is a chiyuv min haTorah to eat sukkah every day. And in fact, he said, "Bracha le'ishba sukkah is a mitzvah." If you don't want to eat, let's say you just want to have bananas and oranges and whatever, then you can do all of your eating chutz to sukkah. But if you want to have a sandwich, if you want to have an achila b'kviz, then you're obligated min haTorah to eat it in the sukkah. So the Baal HaMor says the same is true on Pesach regarding matzah. On the first night of Pesach, whether you want to eat or you don't want to eat, you're obligated to eat a kezayis matzah. And the rest of Pesach, if you want to eat. If you want to eat bread, if you want to eat, then it's takna mitzvah min haTorah to eat matzah. So that's why he asked the kasha, why don't we say the bracha al achilas matzah all 7 days of Pesach? He holds that it's a mitzvah min haTorah, just like you say al achilas leishah basukah all 7 days. Why don't you say Al-Achidos Matzah also there? So he gives the whole Teretz one. In fact, in Europe, there was some Hasidim, there was no Hasidish Rebbe, who told his Hasidim that they should say a bracha all 7 days of Pesach, Al-Achidos Matzah. So the Sforim attacked him, as the Chemet quotes it, and other postim, around 80 years ago, 90 years ago. They all attacked this Hasidish Rebbe. They said, Hasidus he has, and because he has the learning, he doesn't have. And they all said it's against all the Rishonim. The Rishonim said, you don't say a bracha all 7 days. Right, that's what they quote that pasuk. It's taka mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to eat, but you still don't say a bracha. That's the Balmos kasha. Why not?
But it's a chilek. Even if you don't eat bread on sukkahs, but if you eat in the sukkah, you eat in the sukkah. Even if you eat sukkahs,
you have a mitzvah.
You have a mitzvah, and you make a bracha. You make a bracha on sukkah.
But that's what the Balamor asks. Why not say the same on Pesach?
But you don't have
the first night of Pesach. You're obligated to have matzah whether you want to or not.
Not the same.
That's what he is. But the rest of Sukkah, the rest of Pesach, he says, you're not obligated to have matzah. But if you have it, you have it. Kima mitzvah, he says. So that's why he asked the kasha, why don't you say a bracha?
But Sukkah is eating in the Sukkah. Here's your matzah. It's a big difference.
But eat the matzah.
You don't have to eat bananas in the Sukkah. What if I go and eat the bananas in the Sukkah?
Right.
So I have to make a mashim Sukkah. Not because I'm eating bananas, it's because I'm sitting in the
sitting
sukkah.
In the sukkah.
So here, if I don't have to eat matzah, and if I eat bananas on Pesach, I can't get a make a chilas matzah.
On bananas not, but if you eat matzah, the rest of the 7 days.
You don't have to eat matzah.
He holds there is a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah you don't say a bracha.
The
pasuk. Sukkah twice on the same day of Sukkah also. You say five times Leish Masukkah on the same day also. Maybe it has to do with the Teretz. Balamor doesn't say that Svara has anything to do with Teretz. He gives a different Teretz.
The rest is Rishus. If the first night is a Chos, why is there a topic when to make the Achilas Matzah? This should go later on the channel. As soon as I have the opportunity, why is this difficult?
You mean we say the bracha? Yeah.
No, we say it, but you mentioned that the question. When is the time really
the matzah? The Rashbam says at the end of the meal.
Yeah.
Well, the Rashbam says right because of that consideration that the Korban Pesach had to be nechal at the end of the meal, ala sova. So we want to fulfill the matzah also dafki at the end of the meal at the same time. We take it, don't follow the Rashbam. We follow Tosis that the Afikomen at the end is purely for the sake of Zechel of Pesach. It's not their right.
You talked about everything on the Kairos. Where's the Chazeres
come? The Chazeres just means that you have two Morahs. That's all. You have one Morah for the Kriyecha and one Morah for the Morah. It's no secret.
It's the same Morah?
Same Morah. You can have the same Morah. It's not a halakha.
Either one?
In fact, the Mishnah lists off there are five kinds of vegetables that any one of these five kinds of vegetables can be used for the mitzvah of Moro. The Mishnah on Lamed Tesamid Aleph says, the first is Chazeres, next is Tamcho, Karchavino, Ulshin, and Moro. So the Yerushalmi says, what is Chazeres? Chazeres is salat. That means romaine lettuce. And some poskim say that Huadinami, regular lettuce. That's a shadow. But the Dafka romaine lettuce, because Vana Mishnah, and that section of the world, they didn't have regular lettuce. The only lettuce they had was romaine lettuce. So that's a shalom. Maybe the Mishnah is not referring to romaine lettuce. Maybe regular lettuce is not good. And the next one, tamcho, is usually the poskim say that tamcho is charein. So the Yerushalmi comments on that Mishnah, that the Mishnah put these in order. That kol ha-koidem is a mitzvah. It's a greater mitzvah. So the Yerushalmi says it's a bigger mitzvah to use chazeres than to use horseradish. People always think fakir, the horseradish is more bitter.
Like
so the Yerushalmi says no. That the first one mentioned in the Mishnah is a bigger mitzvah. And if you don't have romaine, if you don't have lettuce, then you use horseradish. If you don't have tamcha, then you use charchavino, whatever they are. So the Shami asked the Kasha, but how can you be yotzi mora with the romaine lettuce if it's not bitter? It doesn't taste bitter at all. So the Yishami answers no. If you were to leave it in the ground longer and not cut it out right away, then it would become very, very bitter. So therefore what? So the Chazanish says, therefore, if you left it in the ground and it became bitter, then it's good for Marv. But if the Chazanish time is, but the way we cut it off in the ground before it becomes bitter. So the Chazanish time is that we're not Yetzi Mar. He says that the Yishami said that you're only Yetzi Mar, if you left it in the ground, it became bitter. All the other poskim before and after the Chazanish learned Pshat and Yishami Natsa. That it means that that's Kovea the Min. That if you would leave it in the ground longer, it would become very, very bitter. So that's Kovea. This is enough to determine that romaine lettuce is a Min of Mara. So therefore, you don't have to wait to leave it in the ground longer. You can cut it out at a time that it tastes very sweet and pleasant. And that's considered eating of Mara. Right, that's how we assume. And in fact, we assume that that's Kedem, that Chazeres is Kedem to Tamfer. It's a bigger mitzvah to use romaine lettuce than to use horseradish.
In fact, you have to be very careful with the romaine lettuce. Got a lot of
those are the works. You have to remove all the works.
You wash it.
In Shulchan Aruch, they point out that a lot of times the women make a mistake that when they wash the lettuce in order to take off the worms, sometimes they soak it 24 hours in the water in order that they should get all the bugs to flow to the top. So the poskim point out, later Achrenim point out that they came to the realization, they're noticing that the women are soaking it, so they say that passes it because of the din of kavush kemevushal. That if you soak a vegetable for 24 hours, the Gemara considers it mevushal, and if it's a vegetable, it's mevushal, so it's possible for the mitzvah. So let's say you won't soak it for 24 hours, you soak it just for half an hour, but you soak it in vinegar, in order so that the vinegar should take out all the worms. So then Rashi, Sheet, the Gemara, Shulchan Aruch says that if you soak in the kovish b'chaymetz of its ear, if you soak in vinegar, even if it just soaked for 6 minutes, it already makes it kovish kemevushal. If you soak in water, then it makes it kavush kemevushal only 24 hours. But if you soak it in vinegar, then we're machmir that it makes it kavush kemevushal even in 6 minutes. So you should be careful about that. There are different opinions. Rashi Shita is that you only say kavush kemevushal if it's soaking 24 hours in vinegar. Soaking in water for a year is not kavush kemevushal. Soaking in vinegar for a few minutes is not. And we don't pass like that. We're machmir in Yeruday. The kavush in water is kavush kemevushal 24 hours. The kavush b'chaymish in tzir, kavush in vinegar, is something else that's sharp. Next kavush kemevushal, and some pasuk can say 18 minutes, others say 8 minutes, others say 6 minutes. Don't get on with 6 minutes, I think. 6 minutes makes it kavush kemevushal. So the pashta says that you should be machmir about that, to make sure that the morer is not soaked either in water for more than 24 hours, or should not be soaked in vinegar even for 6 minutes.
But the worms aren't trade,
right,
they grow.
If they developed inside, they're not trade, but if they came in from the outside, and then they set in, then they will be trade.
We assume they came from the outside. Because that's why we make the whole thing, the wash.
I think the Chazanish used the horseradish. Horseradish is the famous machlokes between the Chavis Das and everybody else. The Nesiv is put out a Haggadah that's called Maisa Nisim. Famous Haggadah that's printed in the Derech HaChaim Siddur. He wrote the Derech HaChaim, he wrote the Dinim in the Derech HaChaim by the Nesiv. So he wrote a Pirush on a Haggadah that's called Maisa Nisim. That's the Haggadah that Rav Soloveitchik used to use very, very much. He used to say over a lot of the Biurim from the Maisa Nisim Haggadah. Has a lot of very famous vetlach. So the Nesivus writes in his Haggadah Chiddush Ledina. Just like the Gemara says that if the Morer is cooked, so you're not Yetzer the Mitzvah, and the Poskim HaMachmir also, if it's soaked, if it's Kavush Melusha, you're not Yetzer the Mitzvah. Why? So the Gemara says because it's Neshtane Metchilas Briyosa. So it no longer retains its original state. When you cook something, so it loses its original status. And it's considered a panel chadash is ba'ol ha'kansi. He comes up with a chiddush that hu'adinami, let's say if you have apples and you grind them up completely till you make it into applesauce. So many poskim say that you say shahakal, that you no longer say burpi ha'itz or burpi adam, you say shahakal. And let's say you have potatoes and you completely liquefy them till it's mamish, you don't have any chunks at all. So if no prusas nikaras at all, no chunks at all, then many poskim say that you say shahakal on them. Based on a Rashi and Brachos, you say shahakal. So the Derech HaChaim has this chiddush that if you take the horseradish and you liquefy it the way we do, you grind it up to the tiny little particles, then it's called Nishtana Metchilas Beriyosai. So he tells that it wouldn't be Yotze, just like you're not Yotze with cooked horseradish. The same sugi and brachis put these two together, that if you cook vegetables or you grind them up to tiny particles, it should be considered a Parum Chadash is Bolakam, and it shouldn't retain its original status, and it should be no good for the mitzvah of Mar. And all of the other poskim before him and after him disagreed, and they said it's wrong. What bracha do you say, let's say, on cooked potatoes? Avad, he said Barpi Adama. Why? And a cooked apple, you wouldn't say Barpi Adama. You'd say Shahak. Because potatoes are normally eaten, only cooked. Behemoths eat raw potatoes. But not, yeah. But people, most people only eat potatoes when they cook. So it's Oimei, the normal way to eat potatoes is to cook it. So there, the cooking is not called Mishpat Mechilas Briyos. So all the Paskim disagree with the Nesivis, and they say, whoever eats horseradish in its original state, Fakir, it's Oimei to be ground up. But the normal way to eat it is to grind it up and eat it in tiny particles. Fakir, they want a tiny. That if you eat it in its original state, as far as that you're not yet. Is that shalaki? As far as that is shalaki, there are chafi. Right, right. So that's what some possible time is that if you eat the maror, if you eat a horseradish, a chunk of a horseradish without grinding it up, so at this time that you're not yet, because it's shalaki, there are chafi. Now this time it's not so. The Marsham has it true. He says, not true. That if the Torah says you have to eat maror, so it has to be bitter. So obviously the Torah is telling us to hear Shloka Derech Achilasa, Yishmei Achila. Unlike normally we say Shloka Derech Achilasa is not called Achila, but if it's bitter, the only way to eat it is Shloka Derech Achila.
It's still bitter.
So the other time you know, what's this? You can eat romaine lettuce, it's the Derech Achilasa, it's perfectly
normal.
No, the Rav says that Hillel, the Rav Soloveitchik says that Hillel used to eat romaine lettuce, so he eats romaine lettuce. How does he know that Hillel ate romaine lettuce? Because it says that Hillel made a kricha. A sandwich means a kricha. Why do we call, what does it got to do? Kricha means to wrap around. What did he wrap around? What? So he obviously didn't wrap the matzah around the maror. That way we have a sandwich with the matzah on the outside and the maror in the inside. It means that he had matzah in the middle and he wrapped around the romaine lettuce around the matzah. So he said, obviously, Hillel ate romaine lettuce. That's what he said. Was yet with tamcha, with chazeres. The Yerushalmi says, she did chazeres.
He really put the lettuce around the
next week, not a bad idea.